Welcome to a special edition of the Texas Hour with Pratt on Texas, featuring an interview with a thinker, writer, doer, or someone with an interesting story to tell.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Pratt on Texas podcast extra interview with John Cooper. John is an Air Force veteran, left our United States Air Force as a captain. He was a press relations guy and communications guy in the Air Force, and he ended up at the esteemed Heritage Foundation, serves as director for media and public relations there. It's sort of like having the job to be the liaison with everyone who hates you. I mean, the Heritage Foundation is on the right and a conservative constitutionalist organization, and most of the media is... Well, let's just put it this way. They put on a different jersey every day when they go to play the game. John, welcome to Pratt on Texas. I want to talk to you about a piece you had that was published in the Epoch Times, an opinion piece. And it's just brilliant because the reason that Kristen reached out with the piece, but the reason I don't do lots of guests, and the reason I reached out is I had something in yesterday's news that's only been in the local media in West Texas that just jazzed me up about your piece. Okay, so we'll get to that in a moment. The piece is "Stop Saying Team Biden Has No Plan. The Plan Is Your Pain." And you begin with how many Americans are wondering if Biden has a plan for, well, you write, just about anything. They stumble from one crisis to another, solve nothing, make it get worse. You said, you wrote, critics continue to blast the president for lacking any sort of plan to bring down historic gasoline prices, rein in inflation that's currently at a 40-year high, or fix the historic crisis at the border. And of course, if you weren't having to edit, as a guy that wrote a commentary every day for almost 12 years, I know about editing, that list could be much longer. you say the criticisms make sense, but they're in a sense misguided. Explain that.
Yeah, well, and thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. The criticism is misguided because I think we all have this preconceived idea that the administration, whether they're Democrat or Republican, is actively working in the best interest of the American people. That's what we want to believe as Americans, and that's a good thing. That should be something that we want to be the case. But when we're saying things like, oh, the administration has no plan, or where is the plan? We don't know what it is. I think it's kind of a case of that, you know, what do you believe, you or your lying eyes? If you look at what's happening and has happened for the last 18 months or so since this administration came into office, it's gotten to the point where even the most casual observer has to look at what is actually happening and say, no, this is intentional. This is not a lack of expertise. It's not a lack of planning. It's not any kind of deficit on that front. This is intentional. This is the plan. This is literally what the administration came into office wanting to accomplish. And if you look at their, you know, Biden's campaign platform, if you look at many of the statements of the people that he brought in to staff his administration at all levels, the very things that we're seeing right now, whether it's on the border, whether it's the war on American energy, whether it's what happened in Afghanistan a few months ago, all of these things were things that they were advocating even before they got into office. So it shouldn't surprise us that we're seeing them not only, you know, kind of execute those plans, but then double down on them, even in the face of just abject failure.
But John Cooper with Heritage Foundation, I understand the frame, the position from which you talk about this and write about this. I think most of my audience doesn't share that attitude that I think people who are politically involved understand, at least to a small part, what leftism is, and that it's a global movement. It's not anything to do with America. It's all about advancing basically Marxist principles. The thing that gets me, and having been involved in this stuff my entire life, having started working campaigns in the mid-80s and the Reagan reelect and all of that, it has really made me kind of a disappointment to my great hero, Ronald Reagan. I'm cynical. He wasn't cynical. And I guess, in a sense, I have a trust of the American people, too, like he did. But You said they announced all this. Well, John, the communists, the Marxists, everybody announced everything. They published tons of books on it. They had speakers at every campus. I mean, we're going back to the 1920s and 30s telling us what they're going to do. And yet every time it gets out there in the open, so many of our neighbors look at it, well, that can't be true. John, what are you talking about? There's no way that this, I've dealt with this my entire life. They don't want to believe it's true. So it's a frustration we all have. You pointed out that they didn't lie about this. They told you what they were going to do. He assembled a coalition of people behind him in the campaign, or maybe the coalition assembled and got him as the titular head. And I think that's probably the case in this particular administration. All these people are, you know, get you out of your cars. It's not right. You have the freedom to move about. You need to be in mass transit, dense housing, you know, it's sort of like the Obama stuff, just more and more. How do we deal with that? I want to get into the meat of your piece in a moment, but how do we deal with that? You're a communications guy. I have become, I guess I always was a communications guy. I was a platform speaker and debater and all that on the side, but a serial entrepreneur. You do communications work for a living. I've done it for a decade and a half for a living. And yet, people are constantly surprised by this. Let's take a little detour down that path. I would just like to hear your personal thoughts on that. I mean, you're right there in Propaganda Center. You live in the Washington, D.C. area. You're surrounded by this competing, you know, everybody's got a media outlet, and yet we talk and we spend all this money, and then people are always surprised. Talk about your personal, we'll get back to the meat of the piece and Biden's plan, but your personal view of what I just expressed is one of my great frustrations.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. We are kind of behind enemy lines here in D.C., and it's certainly a challenge from day to day to operate in that environment with so few folks, you know, even remotely pretending to be on our side, let alone actually on our side, so as conservatives. But yeah, going back to the comms piece, it is frustrating sometimes because, yes, the administration or the campaign, I should say, at the time was very clear that, hey, we're going to open the borders. Hey, we're going to limit domestic energy production. Hey, we're going to spend all this money that we don't have, and it's going to drive up inflation, even though they wouldn't say that part out loud. But they were very clear about it, and still we have the administration that we have. Putting all of that aside, because that's past history, you can't change it. What matters right now, though, is, and in a way, it's almost helpful that we're seeing the left's kind of dream state, or maybe the first step to their dream state on display.
Right.
Because Americans, what this actually looks like when you make it impossible for people to survive under, you know, socialism, under Marxism, if you are making it impossible to drive your car because it's too expensive, if 100,000 or more Americans are dying in 1 year from drug overdose deaths, largely driven by fentanyl coming across the border because the border is unsecured, people are seeing that, they are feeling that emotionally, they're seeing it happen to their neighbors, and that is far more powerful than any talking point or any interview that you can do on any cable news show. I mean, those are still important and part of communications, but when you can connect with people, when people understand viscerally, when they understand at their core what the impacts of these decisions being made in Washington are, they're going to start seeing, okay, there is a contrast here between the two sides. There is a side that wants to limit your personal freedom. They want to control everything that you're doing, all the way down to those daily decisions that you make. And the other side believes in freedom. The other side's not perfect, but the other side believes in enhancing freedom and giving you more opportunities to succeed and flourish at the same time that we advance our interest on the world stage, we secure our borders, et cetera. So this administration is really helping draw that contrast, and it's making it very easy for me as a communicator to say, hey, do you want this? Or do you want this on a policy?
I'm sure there's some scholarship out there in the mass communications field. I don't know about it, but it's intuitive to me that there would be a debate going back probably all the way to, you know, when we read rhetoric and things like that from the Greek philosophers, that there would be a debate within communications that which is more powerful. You know, we have all these axioms like the pen is powerful, more powerful than the sword. The idea that ideas are what fuel things, and certainly there's truth to that, or those wouldn't be axiomatic ideas. However, you seem to be advocating, and I tend to have fallen into this, at least in a certain sphere, maybe the short term. I don't know where the, I'd like to see the research on it, that it's actually the communication stuff, while it's important and it may give people a way to express their thoughts and guide thoughts, the real issue just is the old bread and butter. I mean, is there a chicken in every pot? Are people suffering or are they not? In the political campaign business, that's always been the issue. You know, how's the economy? Doesn't matter how good everything in the theoretical is, but how are they feeling, you know, so many weeks out from the election? So what you're saying is that people start waking up, not because people told them they were going to do these things. It seems like a big plurality of the country ignores all of that. It's when it hits them at the gas pump, when it hits them in the family budget, when it hits them at their workplace or lack of workplace, that they truly wake up to what's going on. I'm not sure, though, that they ever connect that to the philosophies behind these actions, except when we have a very, very clear national communicator, as in a president or someone who can make that clear, or say Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey when they did the contract with America. So let's talk about this. You mentioned the border crisis. The border crisis is something we deal with every day, and I'm in that area. You know, this is a serious issue. They told us what they were going to do. And then they have the temerity yesterday, and they're useful idiots all over social media going on and on about the border's closed, and beating up Governor Abbott here, which, you know, maybe he needs beating up, but not on the comment he made about these tragic deaths again in a tractor trailer and it's in San Antonio, that this is that Abbott's wrong. I mean, how dare he put these deaths at the feet of the president and their policies? Because, of course, they wouldn't be smuggled in if the border were open. Now, they're just misusing what we mean by open borders, and we get that. But the people knew. We had already seen this in the Obama administration. We were still having massive problems in the Trump administration, albeit much less and getting better with proper action. Do they really? I mean, you say, look, they had a plan. Well, they told us the plan. It's not that they don't have a plan to deal with it. They want the open borders.
Pratt's interview continues after you hear from our generous sponsors.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Tom in Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done, and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns aren't fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Learn more about Dr. Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Communication's a top priority with commercial builder Tommy Klein Construction. A 20-year-plus Tommy Klein Construction customer said, when we call, text, or email, the majority of the time we get a response back within the hour. Many times they call us before we have a question with updates on our projects. And with Tommy Klein Construction, if there's a need for an adjustment or warranty, they give it top priority as if it were their own building. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them, 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
Sharing stories that matter. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Do you subscribe to the idea that this is a general plan from the left to remake the country? Because we're importing entire cities worth of population every few months.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that the left sees a political, or at least a perceived political benefit in increased illegal immigration, because they believe that these people that come into the country at some point will receive amnesty. Or if you remember H.R. 1 last year that was fortunately voted down in the Senate, H.R. 1 would have automatically put those people on voter rolls. Even if they couldn't vote right away, it would still put them on voter rolls for future voting purposes, which of course could be subject to a lot of problems, as we quite well understand. So there is a perceived political benefit that the left wants to achieve in mass illegal immigration. Now, when you look at what Biden did literally on his first few days in office with his round of executive orders, I believe overall he signed more than 90 executive orders on immigration or border security issues since he's been in office. I might be wrong on that, but he signed a lot of EOs overall, and especially in those first couple of days that ended, for example, the Remain in Mexico program, which border security experts will tell you was one of the most effective programs in reducing illegal immigration. He ended a lot of the asylum cooperative agreements with Northern Triangle countries that basically made folks apply for asylum in that country as opposed to coming up through Mexico and trying to apply at the U.S. border. He ended any further construction of the border wall system. And then internally, he made it impossible for ICE to deport anybody, to detain or deport anyone that's here illegally. Up to 80 to 90% of the illegal alien population here in the United States now is really not at risk of being deported under this administration, because the guidance that they have received basically makes it impossible to do so. So those are just some of the policies
it's not that the Biden administration doesn't have a plan, and that they're just that the entire administration's asleep at the switch, like their leader appears to be. I mean, physically appears to be. This is the plan. And let's move to the next part of your piece. Stop saying Team Biden has no plan. The plan is your pain. The plan is really social and political revolution. But John Cooper, we're visiting with, and he had this piece at the Epoch Times. John is with the Heritage Foundation. I mentioned in the beginning, John, that the reason I wanted to do this interview with you, because this fits so well. Americans are, I mean, this is serious. I mean, this gasoline problem it affects every single part of life. Energy is a cost of every good and service. And this is one that hits people immediately, and it's extraordinarily serious. It's enough to topple the restaurant industry that's barely recovering after the lockdowns and everything else. I mean, it's just horrible. So we know that the problem's there and the American people feel it. And Biden has done all kinds of crazy things in this, canceling the oil offshore leases. Now, those aren't going to produce any immediate energy, but they do have a lot to do with, speculation by capital markets and companies and people like that. This guy, they tell you they feel your pain, and yet here's a story from KOSA, which is a local affiliate, I think CBS affiliate in Midland, Odessa, the center of the Permian Basin, the largest producing oil fields in the United States and maybe the world. EPA warns West Texas of problematic air quality could implement harsher rules. The Biden administration could soon put stricter regulations in place that will have a negative effect on oil and gas production in the Permian Basin. If EPA labels parts of the Permian non-attainment zones, now we see these in humid, heat-trapping cities like Houston that's built on a bayou, you know, on a swamp or big areas. I'm sure, John, you know, at least somewhat in the back of your mind, the geography of the Permian Basin. It is, for the most part, empty desert. And I'm from a little town, so I'm not being disparaging when I say nobody lives there. I mean, very few people live there. The winds blow from the Chihuahuan Desert from the southwest, so anything that's in the air there is immediately dispersed across where I live, a little further to the northeast, up on the high plains of Texas. This is insane. This is precisely what we're seeing happen. And it proves your point about the Biden administration's plan is to cause this shortage of gasoline, oil production, and the price being high. Talk about that part of your piece.
Yeah, and it's whether it's that or Keystone, canceling that on day one. We talked about
tons more.
He did the same thing there. You either have to, one of two things is true, right? Either everyone making these decisions is just stupid, or they understand the repercussions of what they're doing. And while I think the former is true for many people, it's not true for everybody. Right. These are smart people in many cases.
Deviously smart, right.
Very, very clever people who know what they're doing and how to use the administrative state to their benefit, right? And so the other alternative, the only alternative is, no, they know what's going to happen. And we talk about gas prices. When you limit the supply of oil and natural gas or whatever energy form we're talking about here, especially gas, when we're talking about gas or oil, when we're talking about gas prices, the price is going to go up. And if Biden, the thing is, if Biden went out there today, if he's in Spain at the NATO summit and holds a press conference and says, hey, you know what? We're talking about NATO. We're talking about making the U.S. stronger on the world stage. To make that happen, I'm actually going to be announcing a lot more sales on federal lands. I'm going to be getting rid of regulations that limit production. I'm going to bring Keystone back. The price of oil would drop immediately because, like you pointed out, it is a futures-based commodity.
Right.
Would it go down $3, the $3 it's gone up since he's been in office immediately? No. But it would start going down in a meaningful way, not in a way that kind of like he's going for this gas tax gimmick, you know, things like that. Releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which just puts us more at risk for disasters in the future without actually affecting the price that much. Those are real solutions that would actually lower the price because, again, oil is a commodity that's based on futures. And so the complete refusal to do that, even though everyone knows, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, the way to bring down prices is to put more oil in the market. They're refusing to do it.
Well, and this proves the plan. This is intentional, and it's not new. I mean, he said that. He said, and some people behind him also talked about high gas prices being a good thing. Obama administration people talked about this. And this goes back to that it's not Joe Biden. And this gets back to where we started this discussion, John Cooper, and that is, they can tell them all day long, and we can communicate it all day long and feel like we've done nothing, because in the end of the day, it appears that a huge plurality of the American people don't listen to any of this stuff. They only pay attention when it hits them in the pocketbook. Okay, and the reason I say that is, one of the biggest problems we have with gasoline right now is not oil production. We're producing more thanks to George Miller and, you know, all these great entrepreneurs that improved and perfected lateral drilling and fracking and things like that. We're producing a massive amount of oil. We haven't built any new significant refineries in decades in this country. And that shows you this isn't Joe Biden. And that's what I'm talking about. The people don't listen. This happens over and over. This has been the Democratic Party left the American people many years ago. The landscape has completely shifted. They're not for the working man. This is a decades-long official open secret, if you want to say. I don't think there was ever anything secret, but to the American people it seems to be. Plan to stop us from being able to have energy. And by the way, this started way before we had a bunch of electric cars and things running around, folks. It's not about transitioning us to electric cars. It's about starving us of energy so that we're not so wealthy because it's unfair the rest of the world doesn't have as much. Plus, it lets them control us. Before we wrap up, talk a little bit about that, because this isn't just Joe Biden's plan and just those people that were in his coalition. The coalitions have formed years ago, and they're part of an overall movement.
That is exactly right. And Joe Biden is a rather frail and old vessel for the left to implement exactly the agenda that you're talking about. And when we talk about making this real, if conservatives and other concerned Americans, you don't have to be a conservative, you just be concerned about what's happening right now. If we want to make a difference on these issues and in Washington and your state governments, for, you know, those are just as important, frankly, sure, as the federal government. If you want to communicate that well, if you want to talk about these issues, we have to understand that most people are not following what's happening in D.C. on a regular basis. Right. And they're not following all those developments. But that's because they're normal people. They're worried about living their lives, right? They're worried about, you know,
go to work every day,
putting gas in the car. Exactly.
As Rush always said, they're being the people who make America work.
Oh, that's
they're
exactly
not watching
right.
Austin or Sacramento or Albany. They're watching or DC, except as a sideshow, as a circus sideshow in the evening on TV once in a while. They're out working, raising their children.
Exactly. And the sense that so many millions of people have, and again, this is going across the political spectrum here, so many people are just sitting here a year and a half into this administration where they've implemented so many of these kind of dream sheet policies of the left, and people are just thinking, this doesn't feel right. We shouldn't be, none of this should be happening. And they are having this emotional and understandable reaction to all of these crises across the board. And that's where we need to meet people. We need to be meeting them in those moments of need and meeting that emotional dissatisfaction or feeling that things can be better. I mean, that's the only way that we're going to convince people on the policy level. We have to meet them at the heart level first, because that's where they're struggling. That's where they're trying to survive.
I remember how well Ronald Reagan did that. It was just, and others have done it, but Ronald Reagan, we were in a similar position in the 70s. Not only with bad, we had Republican presidents with horrible economic, you know, far lefty price controls and everything else. And then Jimmy Carter. And Reagan really did connect with the American people and brought us a quarter of a century of prosperity after that. And I want to we're out of time, and John Cooper with Heritage, but I want to add one more thing, because you talked about, you just said D.C. and then you threw in there, like, all you folks that live in D.C. think that's Rome in the center of the world. You know, the states too, kind of as an afterthought. I want to remind people of one thing, because it fits your piece. During World War II, California was the great oil state. California is still one of the great oil states in this country. It used to be the great place of refining as well, and all kinds of things. I mean, cracked gasoline, cracked refining that made better gasoline, all this from the Sinclair Oil Company and people. States matter. Because the state of California, they love the revenue from oil, but they've essentially shut the oil business down. In other words, it could stay at the cap where it was, and that's it. And they don't want to produce any more energy out there. So state policy matters a lot, ladies and gentlemen, because it affects you too in these times of trouble. I want to thank you, John, for being generous with your time today and taking time to visit with us on this podcast extra of Pratt on Texas. John is at the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the great, great places puts together policy and things that, as he was talking about, the American people feel uneasy. They know it's not right. Well, somebody has to take that and put it together in thoughtful terms using language and math for the economists and people. And they do that at the Heritage Foundation, and they help us all. John, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. And thankfully, I don't have to do too much math at my job, so that's a plus.
me too. Very good. John Cooper, ladies and gentlemen, with the Heritage Foundation.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream, 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock, tuned to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tuned to 96.1 FM Q Country.